He doesn't remember. That's exactly it. Some things we forget, especially when we want to remember them. Sometimes it's so hard to remember them when you want to remember them. And how many knows what monkey business is? How many have participated in monkey business from time to time? Well, the whole idea is that some things are forgotten and some things have been tampered with. And what we're talking about today is the Sabbath. Isn't that a handsome fellow up there? Is he any relative of ours? I don't think so. No way. That was a nice joke. Well, we call it memory lapse and monkey business. Now, say you're camping high in the mountains, far away from any cities, and it's on a crystal clear, moonless night. Can you picture that? And you look up into the sky, and the canopy is ablaze with bright lights. They're stretching from horizon to horizon. And the stars, breathtaking in their beauty, overwhelming in their abundance. You feel awe, wonder, and your own smallness. As you take a glance at this spectacular evidence as to how just how big the universe really is, all through time human beings have looked up to the sky and they have wondered, because the sky seems to hold promise and some answers to three of the biggest questions that we all can face. And here they are. Where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? Somehow, it's almost as instinctive as that. If we can find or know answers to the first question, where did we come from? Well, that we'll know then the answers to the other two as well. When men invented the telescope, the sky drew nearer. And then in the 60s, we left our home planet and ventured out to explore beyond Earth. In 1969, we walked on the moon. And now we're dreaming of traveling on to Mars and even beyond our own solar system. Why? We hope we'll find something out there that will tell us how we got here, how life began, and that gives a sense of urgency to those in the science has a driving priority to examine these moon rocks for signs of life. We comb through the information sent back from Mars and other planets from these unmanned probes for signs of life. We peer into the depths of the universe through the Hubble telescope and other telescopes. We're looking for signs of how the universe began. Every new day you can find the latest.
Yeah.
we tend to forget. We would forget Him as our Creator, as the Creator of everything. Now, unless we had a regular reminder, So, right, creation itself gave us one. He created an entire day to be set aside each week for us to connect with our Creator. Remember His creative power. On the seventh day, now the last day was the day before, the sixth day, but on the seventh day He gave us the Sabbath. How important is that? It's very important, because from the first, Satan, our enemy, hated the Sabbath. He knew of its power to remind us of God's power. God's power to create us and then after sin recreate us from inside out into His own image and into His own character. So He worked hard. Satan worked really, really hard to get people to forget the Sabbath, to have that memory lapse. And that monkey business is still going on. Have you heard of some way that people try to remember things? Tying a string around their finger? Well, when they look at that string, you see, it's supposed to remind them of something, of what they're supposed to remember. Maybe a birthday or an anniversary or an important appointment. And you know, the Sabbath is like that string that says, don't you forget your Creator. So from the first, Satan has tried his best to get us to forget that string around that finger, that weekly Sabbath reminder, God's creative power. Why, nearly 2,500 years after God gave us the Sabbath, did nearly everyone on earth forget it? Which meant they had forgotten God. Think about that. So now, 2,500 years later from creation, they worshiped God or gods of stone and wood, gods of their own designing. They even worshiped the planets and the stars instead of the one who created them. So when God gave His Ten Commandments, His Ten Commandment Law, He began the Sabbath commandment with the words, remember the Sabbath day. Did He not? Yes, He did. Friends, today the world has largely forgotten the Sabbath all over again. Satan has been determined and is determined to keep the Sabbath truth hidden. Keep people forgetting it, ignoring it, or convinced it no longer applies. And they make it a trivial issue. They say, oh, that's just a trivial issue. That's just a side issue. But I'm telling you, my friends, it is the center of it all. Remember the Sabbath day. And that is why today we are like a planet of orphans. We have forgotten that we have a Father. So our scientists let the dust pile up on the Bibles. And they continue to look in vain to the sky and stars and try to find out how we all got here, how life on earth began, whether we're alone in the universe or not. It is sad beyond belief. If we all remembered the Sabbath and we celebrated it each week as the Bible tells us to do, there would be no need to look to space to find out how life began. Think about that. There'd be no atheists. Without this memory lapse, this monkey business, evolution, that theory would never have arisen. If everyone from time beginning to now remembered the Sabbath day, a lot of that monkey business would not have even come up. Science seems to be focused on uncovering evidences of God's creating power. We need to do that. True science is uncovering evidences of God's creative power. And this gives us evidences of our origins. Tonight, turn with me to God's Word as we look how the Sabbath itself, or today, it's dark, I said tonight, didn't I? But today, turn with me, and Sabbath itself is given to us at creation. There in the first week, God gave us a reminder of His power as creator of everything. Genesis 2, 1 and 3, if you want to turn in your Bible, but it's up there on the screen. Let's read it together. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work as made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Amen. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. This is the center of it all. This is not a side issue. This is it. Notice the Bible says God sanctified the seventh day. That means He set it apart. He made it holy. He set it apart for holy use. He reserved the Sabbath, His weekly reminder to us of His power as creator. And He also reserved time to spend with us. But as we've said, as time went on, men and women forgot the Sabbath. They forgot Him too. See how crucial this is. You remember the Sabbath, you remember God. You forget the Sabbath, you forget God. They go together. 2,500 years later, He gave His Ten Commandments. And He reminded mankind again of the Sabbath and of His law. And He gave it to Moses, who passed it on to the children of Israel. And the Bible says in Exodus 28 and 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. Why worship Him on that day? Why? For 6 days, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's an important day out of the week. That God would set it apart and hallow it? What difference does it make what day you worship on? Well, God set it apart, blessed it, and hallowed it. How much more important can that be? Remember Revelation 14 and 7, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. John, in this quotation in Revelation, was paraphrasing the fourth commandment. And John says, in the last days will be a judgment hour, and it will be a call to worship the Creator. When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it was given for all mankind, Jew and Gentile alike. The Sabbath is God's gift to the entire human race. Every seventh day, a palace in time descends from heaven. 24 hours, God says, flee from stress. Come get connected. Come get connected to the God of the universe. Come find belonging, rest, purpose, refuge. The Sabbath given in Genesis 2,300 years before the Jewish race existed. At creation, God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Bible says God separated the waters from the waters, and dry land appeared. Then God made the firmament, wrapped the earth in air, fresh and pure, pure to breathe. And God said, let the waters and the tides come no further. That's far enough. He, God, said, let the earth bring forth flowers, fruit in abundance, and let it be covered with living green. God said, let the waters abound. What a wonderful God. That he could have made all the fish one color. He made them beautiful for us to enjoy. God said, let the birds fly in the air. God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Living creatures dotted the landscape. Why do we need to be reminded of these things? But we do. We'll forget. We'll get a memory lapse. Then Genesis 1, 26 and 27 records, God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. Finally, after 6 days of creation, God said, I will create a sanctuary, a refuge. I will give a symbol, a reminder that I created them. Never forget that I am the Creator. So the first full day of Adam and Eve's life was a Sabbath. Isn't that nice? Genesis 2:1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Genesis 2:2 continues, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. On which day did God rest? The seventh day. Genesis 2:3 says, then God blessed the Sabbath day, or the seventh day, and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. As Seventh-day Adventists, do we overemphasize? No, we don't. We've got to do this. This is our mission. This is why we are unique. Because if you forget the Sabbath, you forget God. And without God, all this is futile. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. This is the most, one of the most important issues that we can have. First, God, the Bible says, did three things on the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day. We rest on the seventh day because we love Jesus and we acknowledge he created the world. The Sabbath is a symbol of the rest in his love and care. Second, he blessed the seventh day. God put a blessing in the seventh day that he didn't put in any other day. Can the second, the third, the first days be blessed? Can they be blessed? Oh, I sure they can, but not like these meetings. If we want a Sabbath blessing, we get it by worshiping only on the Sabbath day. Third, that God sanctified the seventh day. Sanctify means he set it apart for a holy purpose. The same woman or word means that a woman is set aside for one man. It's like, it's that important. It's like marriage. One woman, one man, set aside. Suppose at my wedding day, I'm at the altar and I see my beautiful bride coming down the aisle. And my heart beats faster. It always does. It still does. But my hands are shaking. And the preacher says, you're married. And after the reception, I'm in the car ready for the honeymoon, and one of her six bridesmaids jumps into the car and says, let's go. And I say, nothing doing. I didn't marry you. Your sister is my wife. 1 in 7, what difference does it make? It makes a difference to me and my wife, doesn't it? What difference does a day make? Does it make a difference to God? If human beings try to make holy any day that God never made holy, doesn't it make a difference? He called us to worship him on the day he sanctified and the day he made holy. It's not up to me. It's up to him. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Satan, in the Garden of Eden, said to Eve, what difference does the tree make? All the trees are the same. Didn't he say that basically to her? Today, Satan tells people days don't make a difference. All days are the same. You see, that tree was set aside for Adam and Eve as a test. The test wasn't the tree nor the fruit. But what it was a real test of whether they would submit to God's sovereign authority or they would follow other advice. And when they ate the forbidden fruit, they rejected God's sovereignty. And they set their opinions higher than the authority of God. Professor E.W. Thomas noted, man could not keep the original Sabbath and forget God. It would be impossible to forget God and remember the Sabbath, wouldn't it? Yes, the Sabbath connects us with God. Throughout the Old Testament, the Sabbath was the sign between God and His people. The Bible says Abraham kept God's commandments. The Sabbath was given in Genesis before there were any Jews. The Sabbath has been kept by God's people through all the ages. When Moses got Israel out of Egyptian bondage in the wilderness, God's people were fed with manna from heaven. The manna fell on 6 days. And on the seventh day, the manna did not fall. God supplied a double portion on Friday. That's wonderful. Any other day, the manna would rot. If you tried to keep it one day to the next, it would rot. But God performed a double miracle. No manna falls on the Sabbath, and a double portion falls on Friday. So gather that double portion Friday, and you'll have a second day supply, and it won't spoil. It'll be good for the Sabbath. Any other day, the extra manna spoils. That's an important day. The Sabbath is an important day that He made special provision. Exodus 16 and 26 says, 6 days shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. When Israel went to gather the manna on the Sabbath day, God says, Exodus 16 and 28, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, do you remember there was no Ten Commandments written out at that particular time? This was before Moses had received the Ten Commandments written in the tablets of stone. And he says to them, before this even happens, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? So apparently these laws and commandments were in effect before Sinai. Isn't that right? Amen. Ten Commandments were given by God for all people at all times, in all places. No exceptions. There are no people exempt from the Ten Commandments. The scripture says in Exodus 20 and 10, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. How much plainer could it be? In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a sign of allegiance, of loyalty, and of obedience. A sign that I am connected to my Creator. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12 says, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, or them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Some Christians are confused. They think Jesus came to do away with the law, to do away with the Bible Sabbath. On the contrary, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 17, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Did Jesus come to destroy the law? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Remember the Sabbath? Not at all. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath or did He destroy it? He kept it, didn't He? And Luke 4 and 16 says, and He, Jesus, came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. The Sabbath. On a Sabbath day, he announced he was the Messiah, reading from Isaiah. Wouldn't Jesus have done away with the Sabbath in his life if he planned to destroy the law or to introduce a new day of worship? Wouldn't he? Jesus himself kept the Bible Sabbath. Adam and Eve were Sabbath keepers, were they not? Abraham was a Sabbath keeper, as were Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Jesus told his disciples to keep the Bible Sabbath even after his death. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Pretty strong. Jesus gathered his disciples and he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, about the Roman armies that would destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 24 and 20, "But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Thought it was done away with. When was Jerusalem destroyed? Jerusalem was surrounded by Roman armies and destroyed by Titus in AD 70. Why would Jesus encourage his disciples to pray that their flight be not on the Sabbath if at that time they wouldn't be keeping it? I don't know. Strange question, isn't it? Pray that Titus' attack doesn't come on the Sabbath, because Christians would be worshiping God on the Sabbath. He would destroy them, because they would be together. Any other day, the gates would be open and the people in the fields. So Jesus intended Christians to keep on keeping the Sabbath. In the New Testament, there's 84 times where the disciples kept the Bible Sabbath. The disciples love Jesus, and if we're disciples of Jesus, we love him enough to obey him. Acts 13 and verse 14, speaking of the disciples, the Bible says they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul went to the synagogue to convert the Jews. Acts 13 verses 42 and 44 clear this up. The Gentiles, not the Jews, begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. The Gentiles said, "We want to worship Jesus too." On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. If the disciples were keeping the first day of the week and the Gentiles said, "We want to hear this message too," the disciples would have said, "Come back tomorrow," on the first day. The Bible says that they came back on the next Sabbath, not on a Sunday. The whole city came to hear the word of God. And that experience happened at Antioch. In Antioch today, we will find ruins of two churches. The first, this one here, is an early Christian church where the Sabbath was exalted. But in another part of the city, there's ruins of another temple erected in the days of Rome to the Roman sun god, the god of sun day. And in Antioch, we see the contrast between the temple to the sun worshiping day of the sun, the pagan god on the first day of the week, and the Christian church worshiping on the Bible Sabbath. Some places, they had no place to worship, no building to worship. So Paul went into the countryside to a small band of believers, and Acts 16 and 13 says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made." In both the Old and New Testaments, God's people worshipped on the Bible Sabbath. Acts 18 and 4 says, "And he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks." Revelation, the Bible's last book, calls us to obedience, to worship the Creator. Revelation 14 and 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Where is this? Revelation, the last book of the Bible, they're still commanded to keep the commandments and to have the faith of Jesus. In the last days, God will have a people that love Him enough to obey Him and love Him enough to keep His commandments. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain from one moon to another, from one Sabbath to another. All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." Notice, from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come and worship before me. If they worship Him on the Sabbath up there in heaven, isn't it a good thing to start down here? Yeah. Oh, yes. Some say, "Sir, can we really be sure which day the seventh day is? Hasn't the calendar been changed? Would God give a command so complicated nobody could keep it?" The Bible says, tells us what day the Sabbath day is. Astronomy tells us what day the seventh day is. Language or the dictionary tells us what day the seventh day is. History tells us what day the seventh day is. There's absolutely no question of which day is the seventh day. There's some monkey business going on here. Or memory lapses. Remember in the story of the crucifixion, Luke 23, verses 54 to 56, that day, the day that Christ was crucified, was the preparation. And what drew near? The Sabbath. Christ was crucified on the day that the Bible calls the preparation day. And the Bible says, "And the women who had come with Him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how His body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils." The Bible continues, "And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." The preparation day was the day Christ died. Next, on the Sabbath, He rested in the tomb, and the ladies would not embalm His body. Obviously, the commandments weren't nailed to the cross. Isn't that true? The closest followers rested according to the commandment. Christ rested on the Sabbath in life, and He rested on the Sabbath in death. The Bible describes what happened on the third day. "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb." Now notice Friday, preparation day, day Jesus died. Next day, Sabbath day, Saturday. The women rested, Christ rested according to the commandment. The first day, Sunday, Christ rose from the dead. You have the 3 days in succession. Do we know what day Jesus died? Yes. We call it Good Friday. That's the preparation day. The next day, the women rested. The Sabbath day, in English, we call it by that pagan name, Saturday. The first day, Sunday, which was the third day. The Sabbath day between Friday and Sunday. The Bible is so clear, and so are most modern dictionaries. You can look it up in the dictionary. Dictionaries say the seventh day, Saturday, is the seventh day of the week. That's Webster. We just accept a higher authority than Webster. Thank you, Mr. Webster. That just confirms what the Bible says. Astronomy knows which day the seventh day of the week is. Asked astronomers. The United States Observatory said this: "We have had occasion to investigate the works of specialists in chronology. That's a good word. Chronology, that's numbers, or the order of numbers. And we have not found one of them that ever had the slightest doubt about the continuity of the weekly cycle into the Christian era. In other words, a week is a week is a week, and it's still 7 days in a week, and that's it. British Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England, confirms the authenticity of the weekly cycle. Saturday indeed is the true Bible Sabbath. In most common calendars of the day that are used in most of the world, Saturday is the seventh day. However, in Europe, they do things differently. They list Monday as the first day of the week. Monkey business. This change was made recently in the 1950s and in the 1960s. The calendars before this time accurately placed Saturday as the seventh day and Sunday as the first day. You know, our European friends, anybody from Europe that goes by this calendar, if you consult the Orthodox religious calendar, Saturday is always the seventh day. In a Catholic country, Saturday is the seventh day. The change was relatively new. It is part of the mastermind plot to do away with the Bible Sabbath. And that was predicted in Daniel 7, verse 25. The enemy would think to change times and laws and confuse people. Over 105 languages, the word for the seventh day is the Sabbath, not Saturday. In Ghana, West Africa, many tribes call Saturday Memenida, which means I am that I am's day. That's pretty good, isn't it? I am that I am's day, or the day of the I am. It's what it is. Jesus, of course, called himself the I am in Exodus 3:14. And among these Akan-speaking people of Ghana, Memenida, the seventh day and last day of the week, is a day assigned to God. Onyami. That's who God is in their language. Onyami. Because this day was a special day to worship, was called Memenida Depa, Saturday, the good or precious day, or Sabbath, the good or precious day. On this day, personal everyday activities like market days or funerals are discouraged. Wars could not be declared or fought on this day. Isn't that neat? In those countries, some places still honor the Sabbath, little obscure places that we never hear about. Since God's day, the Sabbath, or Saturn's day, or Saturday as we call it, and since every male child born on this day who claims this day as his own is called Kwami. God is also called Onyami Kwami, the God of Saturday, or the God whose day is Saturday, or the God of the Sabbath, or the God whose day is the Sabbath. Sabbath was observed long before the birth of Prince Henry the Navigator. He was a Portuguese explorer in the 15th century, and he landed Roman Catholic priests for the first time. These were missionaries in Ghana. And ever since then, all white people are called quasi-Bronai, Sunday white men, because they didn't keep the right day. After those Sunday-keeping white missionaries who tried to introduce Sunday worship in place of Saturday worship. Imagine that. Thousands studying their Bibles conclude the seventh day is God's true Sabbath, and they must follow Jesus all the way. To follow Jesus goes beyond tradition, beyond what preachers teach, beyond what religious books teach. We must follow God's book. We must follow what the Bible teaches. Now here's a story about Anna studying her Bible and studying the Bible Sabbath, and she became troubled. And she said, I don't want to know what my church teaches. I want to know what God's Word teaches. She called her pastor. I have a question to ask you. I've been studying the Bible regarding the Sabbath, about the Sabbath given in the Garden of Eden. God rested on the Sabbath. God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. God gave hundreds of years before there were any Jews. I read in my Bible that Abraham kept the commandments that were later written with God's finger on tables of stone. Doesn't work sometimes. Ezekiel said the Sabbath was a sign between God and man. Jesus kept the Sabbath every week, that the disciples would keep the Sabbath, that Peter and Paul kept the Bible Sabbath, and that we keep and that we will keep the Sabbath in heaven. And Anna said, in continuing, I have a question to ask you, Pastor. I want to know which is true. What's the true Lord's day? What is it? Some Christians say Jesus rose the first day and we should keep that day. But my Bible never said Jesus rested on the first day. It doesn't say that Jesus sanctified the first day. Although man says worship on the first day, I don't find that in my Bible. Pastor, or sir, I want to know about the true Lord's day. Why is it that some things are in the Bible more than once? And the pastor, or the person that she was getting counsel from, he was very wise, and he said, some things are in the Bible more than once is because that God wants to emphasize it. If you miss it in Matthew, you get it in Mark. She said, Pastor, I only want to go by the Bible. I want the light of Christ to shine from God's Word. She said, Pastor, I read in Revelation 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I want to know what is the true Lord's Day. I read in Matthew 12 and 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That's also in Mark 2 and 28 says, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And Luke 6, 5 says the same thing. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Pastor, if the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord's Day. The truth is, the expression Lord's Day is only mentioned once in the Bible. Revelation 1:10. That's it. So a whole doctrine is made around one scripture, and they tell us we take the Bible out of context. Imagine that. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. John is simply saying I had a prophetic vision that the Lord set aside. The day the Lord created, the symbol of His love and refuge, he's saying I had a vision on the Sabbath. That's what he's saying. Let Jesus define what day the Lord's Day is. We have lots of opinions on the Lord's Day, but Jesus' opinion is the one I'm taking. Oh, yes. When Jesus says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, I believe it, don't you? Anna sensed the Sabbath is the true Lord's Day, and she asked her pastor, what should I do? And her pastor was very smart. He said, I counsel you to follow Jesus. That was the right thing to say. My friends, I don't know what church you were brought up in, but that's not what I was taught. I was taught about the Sunday. I was taught about that. I thought it didn't make any difference. And I don't know what your preacher told you, but I know what the truth is. And you may leave here, and friends may try to talk you out of following Jesus. They may say, well, it doesn't make any difference. And because you don't want to argue with them or don't want to, you just, oh yeah, no, it doesn't make any difference. But it does make a difference. I can only counsel you and myself to follow Jesus, to follow the Bible. We're going to sing today as we sing our final song, I Will Follow Thee, My Savior. We're going to sing that. And what we're saying is, Lord, I want to worship you as creator, that I want to find refuge in you, that I want to obey what you wrote with your own finger. Remember the Sabbath. So we'll sing this.